Portions of this program are pre-recorded.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a ton going on. Lots to get to. A big, big news day today. Let's get right to it on a Monday. That's Kerry Lockie. Kerry, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
You are okay. I agree. Polo making it happen. Sam in the his house. I'm your talk monkey. Joe Pags. Still a little bit hoarse. I'm not really, I'm trying to work through it. Took the COVID test, the home test. Don't have the COVID. Got something, got that stuff going on though, you know? You wouldn't know, Kerry, because I had to carry the show by myself on Friday. A lot of heavy lifting.
Really? By yourself.
We got it done. Ratings through the roof.
I'm sure.
We have to talk.
Yeah. Okay. Show me.
Was it a good Friday?
It was, yeah.
Was it some baseball game or some crap?
No, it was my son's senior photo session. The baseball game was on Saturday.
I'm sorry.
The college tour. Yeah.
You took off on Friday so you could watch your son get his picture taken?
Yes, because I was there and I'm paying for it. So, yeah.
<You're>
and this is
mom.
What I want. Yes.
See, Gary, this is the way it works. I'm a dad, so I get the pictures after they take them.
I know.
And they're like, hey, do you want a wallet size?
Everything is done.
You know what I mean?
I know.
That's it. Those are my options.
No. I've got to take control.
All right. So glad to have you. There's a lot going on. Twitter changing hands. We will talk about that. The big news of the day, however, Sam has the big news of the day because Rosie, unbeknownst to us before a couple of weeks ago, was with puppies.
She sure was, and we woke up yesterday morning to 8 puppies.
What the heck?
I can't believe it.
I mean, that's crazy.
Have like 4 or 5, so one of them sadly didn't make it. It was a little bit small, and you know, that happens. It's nature, but we have 7 beautiful mini Aussie puppies, and they're so cute. I can't stop touching them.
I can't even imagine. Now, have you named them? What do you do with little puppies like that?
So we want to do like a theme for their names. We're not sure what we want to exactly name them. And we don't want to start naming them because we are going to not keep all of them, hopefully. I don't know. I mean, they're really cute, though. We might end up keeping all of them.
No, you're not keeping all of them. Puppies for sale is what you're saying. Yes. The answer is no. Dad doesn't need another dog, but we love Rosie. Not so sure about Archie. He's kind of a jerk. Can I be honest?
Listen, Archie is being the best little puppy dad ever. He's licking all the puppies. He's helping in any way that dads can generally help when there's newborns near them. So,
now, do you have a picture that I can show to the stream or not?
I do. I'll send them to you.
Yeah, send me something. I'll show it to the stream during the break or something.
Yeah, and I'm a professional photographer, so they're pretty good.
Oh, I bet they're damn good. So, Kerry, anything you want a puppy?
No, I have a stubborn doxy at home that wants plenty. Thank you.
Wow. Polo, anything? You want a puppy? These are awesome puppies. All right. Sam, I'm trying to help you out here. But these are cute. I mean, now what are they? They're miniature Aussies?
Yes, they're miniature Australian Shepherds, and they end up being about 15 to 18 inches tall. And Rosie's on the bigger end, if you remember how big she is, and Archie's on the smaller end. So we're not sure how big these puppies are going to end up being.
All right. Very, very exciting. Kerry, that was the big news of the day.
Mm-hmm. I understand. 8. That's
another story just to get out of the way. And again, we'll show the pictures as I get them. During the break or something, we'll show them to the stream. If you're not on the stream, just go to joepags.com and click on watch now. The other big story of the day. So I'm walking around. I walk around malls a lot. I walk around the mall today. And then after that, I went and I went inside and ate at a restaurant.
What?
And then I went into like a busy, busy movie theater. What? Why are you saying that? What?
Does not sound like you.
Like virtual?
At all?
No, what are you talking about? No. I was all over
Mr.
the place.
Hermit.
What are you talking about?
No. That's
what I do normally. It's a normal
Monday.
I
believe you. No, it's not a normal
Monday. What was so weird to me, and I felt a little bit guilty about it. I was like, wow, look at all these lesbians. I was like, what is going on? You know what I mean, Kerry? You know what I mean, right?
I don't know what you mean. No.
What are you talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. No.
Sam, do you know what I'm talking about? Lesbians. Oh, I just, it was so obvious to me that, that these people were lesbians. I'm like, I would not have known this on a normal day. You know what happened, Carrie? Hmm. It's Lesbian Visibility Week. They were all visible to me, whereas normally they wouldn't be. What do I know who's a lesbian, who's not? Hmm. What do I know about that? But it turns out in Lesbian Visibility Week, you can just tell who is. You didn't know that?
It works like that, actually. No.
Pretty sure it does. Sam, that's a news story, is it not?
It is a news story.
All right, so there you go, Carrie. So normally I'd be like, I don't really care who these people sleep with.
I didn't report on
today. I don't care who they're attracted to. No, no, go walk around. Have you gone to the store today? What have you done today? Nothing.
Home to work, right? I came to work, yeah.
On the way home, can you stop and fraternize a little bit? And it'll be obvious to you who the lesbians are.
No.
Carrie, they're visible now. They're visible this entire week.
No.
What do you mean?
It just doesn't work like that.
How uncomfortable did every listener listening to my show just get? What is he talking about? Oh, my God, he's on drugs.
What are you doing?
What is he taking for his throat?
Going out to busy malls and movie theaters?
I'm going to the mall. I'm going to the shopping centers. I'm going to the movies. Yeah. You know that I was doing all that. Polo immediately grabbed his microphone. He's like, fake news. Yeah. No, listen. It sometimes just one week a year. The other 51 weeks, I can't tell who's what. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. Man, woman, I have no idea who she's attracted to. Mm-hmm. But this week, you know.
No.
I want to thank the LGBTQXYZ123 community for making me aware of the visibility of lesbians this week. Now, wasn't it like Transgender Visibility Week a few weeks ago?
Quite possibly.
Why don't you call it Visibility Week, as if they're invisible otherwise?
Carrie, let me
ask you, as a news person, just factual person, black and white, if somebody's a lesbian outside of this week, can we see them?
We can see them.
So we visually can still see them?
Yes.
So they're no more visible this Every week day. Than they were like last week?
True. Maybe you're thinking of visibility as, I think they're thinking of a different definition, probably.
Well, no, I mean, if something's visible, you can see it. That's actually the definition, right?
I understand, yes, but people like to change things around. That's not what they're talking about, though.
Hmm. Well, can't they just be literal and stop this garbage?
Nope.
They've changed the meaning of visibility?
That would be my guess.
Kind of weird, isn't it? All right, now into another big story, not as important as the first two stories, obviously. Twitter is now, well, they've got a new owner. I'm not going to give you any more information than that. Carrie's got the story. They've got a new owner, and people are freaking the hell out. Mm. Fill me in.
From Vox Business, Twitter shares popped over 5% on Monday after the company's board unanimously accepted Tesla CEO Elon Musk's $44 billion offer to take the social media giant private. Under the terms of the agreement, Twitter stockholders will receive $54.20 in cash for each share of common stock that they own upon closing of the proposed transaction. The purchase price represents a 38% premium to Twitter's closing stock price on April the 1st, the last trading day before Musk disclosed a 9.2% stake in the company. Musk has secured approximately $46.5 billion to finance the transaction, including $25.5 billion of fully committed debt and margin loan financing and $21 billion in equity financing. And the transaction is expected to close in 2022, subject to the approval of Twitter stockholders, the receipt of applicable regulatory approvals, and the satisfaction of other customary closing conditions. A Twitter independent board chairman, Brett Taylor, said the company conducted a thoughtful and comprehensive process to assess Elon's proposal with a deliberate focus on value, certainty, and financing. Musk, a self-described free speech absolutist, has been critical of the platform and its chief executive's approach to free speech. Quote, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated, Musk said in a statement. I also want to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans. Twitter has tremendous potential. I look forward to working with the company and the community of users to unlock it.
All right, thank you. So now people are freaking out on the left. Now, what Musk said, he never said, I'm a righty, I'm a conservative, I'm going to start squelching speech on the left. No, what he said was, it should be a free speech platform. Now, those of you who don't think this is an important story, you're wrong. It's a very important story. Whether you like it or not, the major newsmakers and the major news reporters in this country, from the Washington Post and New York Times to all the big networks to all the news networks, they all go to Twitter to find out what's trending. Twitter has become a very important source for, I was going to say news, but it's not really news, for information. Now, the information has been left slanted. The information has been sometimes squelching and censoring, like getting rid of Trump on the platform, like not reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop on the platform. These things are very important, and they were just done, and you couldn't do anything about it. They actually were helping to sway elections. Musk has not said he's going to come in and give conservatives a run for the next 10 years. He has said he's going to make it fair. The libs that are freaking out, and a lot of them are leaving Twitter, I'm out of here, blah, blah, blah. Those people are admitting that they knew that Twitter was a safe space for them, not for anybody on the other side. And one of his first tweets after buying it, Musk said, I want those who disagree with me to stay on Twitter. Please stay on Twitter. And that's the right way to go. I don't want people who disagree with me to go away. I just want my stuff to be able to be seen by those who follow me and those who want to see my stuff. And Carrie, I kid you not, I've gained about 400 followers today.
Really?
And that's abnormal for Twitter.
Wow.
And I haven't done anything spectacular on Twitter. I'm just existing on there. So I've gained about 400. Conversely, I'm suspended from TikTok again.
And why? What did you do?
Nothing. Literally did nothing. They removed a video I did like a week and a half ago. And they said they removed it because it's hateful. Mm-hmm. It's hateful. And the video was probably something about, it could have been the female prisoners getting pregnant from the trans female prisoner. Whatever it was, I worded it the way that they need you to word it. I mm-hmm. didn't say anything hateful, didn't say anything that was untruthful, didn't say anything unscientific. So they go back and they delete whatever this video was. And then I appeal it, and I won the appeal. I'm still suspended for 3 days. That's the game they're playing. We're going to take down your video, say that it doesn't fit our community guidelines, and we're going to stop you from being able to post for the next certain amount of days, even though my video, the appeal won, and the video is perfectly fine, and it's been restored on the platform. See, I don't want that to happen. I don't want them to have the kind of power that says, we're going to monitor every single thing you do. Their guidelines say no hate speech, no racism, no threats, so on and so forth. I haven't done any of those things. Yet they found out who I was, got 98.6 thousand followers now. They don't want me to get to 100. If Musk does what he said he would do on Twitter, Facebook will be defunct. I mean, Getter still exists because you get good engagement there. Truth Social might be in trouble. Now, guess who we have on tomorrow?
Who is that?
Well, do you know who's running Truth Social?
I know it's the president's baby.
It is. But who did he hire to run it? Do you remember? The guy actually quit Congress to go run it.
I know his name.
D.N.
Oh, Devin Nunes.
Exactly. We'll have him on tomorrow. And I'll ask him that very question. Is Truth Social now worried? Yes, the rollout has been slow. Now, everybody who's been on the waiting list for Truth Social is on. If you got an iPhone and you've been waiting, according to Devin Nunes, you're on. So now they've got to open it up for Google Play. They've got to open it up for a web UI. And with Musk doing this, they've got to do it very quickly. So I'm going to ask him about that tomorrow. It'll be a very interesting conversation. But I want to know what people who are watching and listening think the repercussions will be, the reverberations will be, what the results will be, the consequences, or the good results, with Elon Musk now owning Twitter. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Now, if you want to see the pictures of the puppies, you go right now to joepags.com, joepags.com, and click on Watch Now. You'll go to my chat room. You'll see us do the show as well as hear it, and I'll put those pictures up during the break. Keep it here. Coming back.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. You know, Karen, I don't know if you saw this. One of the freakouts by the left today was that a billionaire shouldn't have so much power.
Yes, I've heard that.
Should not be able to control the media the way the billionaire controls the media. Carrie, who owns the Washington Post? I forget.
Bezos.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
He's a multi-billionaire. Are you serious? He controls that part of the media?
Yes.
Shush. You shush.
No, I will not. Nope.
And you can go down the list of who owns these big networks, who owns the information. And the list is filled with people who have a lot of money. And that's okay, provided they're doing it right, provided they're doing it fairly. And provided they're doing it like Carrie Lockie or Laura Logan or Cheryl Atkinson. Atkinson, who, by the way, yesterday on Full Measure had a great expose on the Soros elected DAs and how bad the crime is getting in those areas. So, yeah, I mean, if you're doing it right, it doesn't matter how much money you have. What, if you're a success in America, you can't own something? I think that's kind of dumb. Okay, it's kind of dumb, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I call that dumb because we all want to be wealthy one day. And
heck yeah.
It does, okay, I can't own anything. Got too much money. That's kind of stupid. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Emergencies happen anytime. Unexpected, too. No power, no lights, no news. Federal agencies urge every family to have an emergency radio. Now Newsmax, which I watch all the time, I'm on there all the time too, also publishes Newsmax magazine. It's a great publication. Dick Morris, Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Dr. Laura, a lot more are involved. They want you to get the world banned emergency radio free with Newsmax magazine. It's a powerful radio, works during any emergency. It doesn't need batteries with a hand crank and super LED flashlight. The radio includes the NOAA weather band, long-range AM receiver, FM band, and even a USB for cell phones. This Dynamo emergency radio retails for $30. You can get it free with a discounted Newsmax magazine subscription. Newsmax is news you can trust. Go now to gettheradio.com, gettheradio.com, or call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. The free radio could save your life. Quantities are limited, so you better order today. Go to gettheradio.com or 800-NEWSMAX. Right now. All right, your thoughts about Elon Musk owning all of Twitter, your thoughts about the left freaking out. You know, Carrie, that one woman who freaked out when Trump won, remember, on her knees, screaming with the beanie on or whatever?
I remember that. Yep.
She is every meme on Twitter today.
I know. I've seen that all over the place.
Go
today.
On, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have an opinion? I know you don't use Twitter an awful lot, but
I really don't.
If it really does even things out, that's a better place, isn't it?
I think so. And I was thinking about it, you know, because I'm so rarely on there because I just, how many times have I said I just think it's a cesspool? But if he can change some things and I see a difference, I may get back on. I've had a lot of people say on Facebook today, they've reinstated their accounts on Twitter just
think
because
about this.
Elon Musk is buying it.
I don't know this to be the only reason, although I think this pushed him over the top. Can you imagine if Twitter doesn't suspend the Babylon Bee, none of this might have happened?
That's right. Yes.
It was his favorite Twitter page, mm-hmm. his favorite Twitter profile. They decided to suspend them for no reason. They were there. It's a parody and satire site. They said that Rachel Levine was their man of the year. That's it. The account has been suspended since then. We're all like waiting with bated breath for the Babylon Bee to be restored. Mm-hmm. Going to be very interesting to watch that.
And I wonder about former President Trump. So Musk takes over.
Right.
Let's say he reinstates his account, but now he's got that Truth Social. So will he get back on Twitter?
It's a great question. And I'm going to get into that after the bottom. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Hey, Jet.
Big time Motown Joe PAGS on a rainy day in Houston.
It's rainy over here too, man.
Texas. God dang it. I mean, it's coming down like cats and dogs and turkeys too. Boy, I tell you. But, hey, right quick, our thoughts and prayers goes out to the guard that lost his life trying to save drug dealers.
100%.
That something?
It's sick,
something?
Yeah.
Biden ain't said a word yet. I ain't heard it yet. So
he hasn't.
Yeah, you know how that go. But we trying to figure out these treasonous dirty rats, Motown. How in the world are we going to get by this election with these treasonous dirty rats? How are we going to do it?
Well, I talked to Carrie Lake today. She's running for governor of the great state of Arizona. They are bringing legislation forward to not use the machines.
Killer.
That's what they have to do.
Killer, killer, killer.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're going to have to do, because if they don't, we're going to mess around here and it's going to be the SOS again.
Right.
SOS.
Right.
It's going to be the same old thing.
I love you, AJ. Got to run.
Taking it. Love you guys.
Call back again this week. We appreciate AJ calling in. Keep it here.
Joe PAGS.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks. Appreciate you stopping by the Joe Pag Show for your Monday. A Musk bought Twitter Monday. Kara, did you think that he would?
Yeah.
It was interesting because he offers, well, not offer, he bought 9.2%.
Mm-hmm.
Made him the largest single shareholder. And they offered him a seat on the board. And he said, sure, that'll be great. And then found out that you could only own 14-point-something% if you're on the board. And he said, nah, you know what? I don't want to be on a board. I think we're good. And then some other organization with a V. Do you remember the name of the company? The name of the, it's a money management group.
Yeah, because we did that story.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up.
Valuetron or some crap, whatever the hell it is. I should probably know, but I'm not into the financial markets like that. But they ended up buying 10-point-something%, so they had more shares. But he was still the single most, he was the largest shareholder for a single person, a single entity. Vanguard is what they're saying in the chat room. Exactly right, Vanguard. This is why we keep the chat around, just to keep me in check.
Here.
I knew that. I just want to see if they knew it. You know.
Really?
So what did I say? Value Mart, Value Trod, something like that. Yeah. Exactly.
Store, yeah.
Exactly right. So, and then you hear, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. Maybe I just buy the whole damn thing. And then he offers 52.40 or something, 52.20, or 54.20, whatever the hell it was, per share. And the shares were going at $38 at the time, offering millions and millions of dollars more to the shareholders. But the board didn't want to do it. Then they put some poison pill that they got a whole year to think about his offer and all this other crap. Well, all of these shareholders were like, what are you, stupid? I want my money. You're going to make me $3 million, but you're going to turn it down because you're being stupid? So all of a sudden it happens today. You know how much Jack Dorsey made today?
I don't know that. How much?
$978 million.
Whew. That's quite nice.
That's almost your yearly salary.
In one day, almost. Yeah. Almost, yeah.
In one day, in one transaction.
$978 million.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm. So, so at the end of the day, this could be a very good thing if he does what he says he'll do. Now, I have no reason to believe. Elon Musk, I don't know the guy. They're only about an hour away in Austin, so we should probably figure out how to go up there and talk to him. But Elon Musk, so far, I have not seen a track record of him saying he's going to do something then he doesn't do it. He just seems to be that guy where he's like, it should be free speech, shouldn't it? Boom, I just bought it. It's free speech. You know, I mean, isn't it refreshing? Because normally somebody will say something to you and they're lying.
Oh, yeah. Or you'll get a couple of different versions or I didn't say that. Yeah. And then they just let it go away. But you're right. He seems to be a man of his word so far.
You asked what I think is the question of the day today, because everybody on Twitter, and again, if you want to comment on Elon Musk buying the entirety of Twitter, and will it really make a big difference, or is it going to be more of the same? I also want to ask you this. Who is your favorite Twitter account that was suspended or permanently removed that you want back? So before the break, you brought up Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Former President Donald Trump has been suspended from Twitter. Did they do it on January 6th?
That I don't remember.
He was still president when they did it.
After.
Yeah, he was still president. And he left office on January 20th. So some point between in that 2-week period between the 6th and the 20th, I think it might have been the 6th. It might have been a couple of days later, maybe. Either way, do I think he'll go back on? I think he had 87 million followers when he left, when they kicked him off. Easily, Musk can just press a button and his account is restored. That's easy. Kerry, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Will the former president do anything with it? He literally can't stop them from turning his account back on because he's made overtures in the past couple of weeks that he doesn't want to be on Twitter. Now, he went and made his own social media site, Truth Social. I think I have 19,000 followers on there now. So it's starting to build gradually, but better. Only for iOS devices right now, which is a little bit strange. Google Play, we're told, will be very soon. I want a web user interface because that's, you know me, this is how I do my social media generally, mm-hmm. is on my computer. So those things have to be in place for them to compete. They are getting better, and I guess they made some sort of a deal with Rumble where they're on the Rumble servers to guarantee they can be taken down. Very smart.
I guess Twitter permanently suspended Trump's account on the 9th.
Okay. So I mean, it's very soon thereafter. Mm-hmm. So here's the question. You're the journalist. They can turn Trump's account on tomorrow. Do you think that Musk contacts, he reaches out to Trump first to find out if he wants it on, or does he just turn it on to see what happens?
I say turn it on to see what happens.
Because you're a troublemaker. I see your face. You're like, you think it'll be an exciting moment.
Let's sit back and watch. Yeah.
Those who are watching and listening, most of you followed former President Donald Trump. I was privileged with him retweeting me two or three times, and that gave me immediately 17,000 retweets almost in 2 seconds. So, you know, there was a lot of power there, and there was a lot of power that was evening things off on Twitter. They needed a reason to get rid of him. Do you think, simple question, do you think he should go back on Twitter? Because it's not a zero-sum game, Kerry. This is what I say about social media all the time. Yes, I'm on Getter, Parler, Facebook,
everything,
Twitter, MeWe, probably some I'm not even remembering right now. And the reason why I do that is because it doesn't take anything away from one site if I'm on the other site. Instagram, TikTok, I'm on all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm on TikTok, it doesn't take away from Instagram. Because I'm on Instagram, it doesn't take away from Twitter. So it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like you can only pick one, or there is a finite number of users that can join these websites. So why can't I be on Truth and Twitter? I can be. You know, Musk now owns Twitter. I guess he's got a Facebook page, I would think. So what? He's not going to leave. I wouldn't think he would leave Facebook just to stay on Twitter. So if I'm Trump, I would take advantage of it.
I would too.
You got 87 million people that you can directly tell go to Truth, right?
Yes, absolutely.
B, yeah. Your tweets get crazy virality. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he just had such a big following on Twitter. It'd be hard, I would think, not to want to go back to that, especially if he's going to run.
And if he goes back, he goes back victorious.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back avenged. He goes back the winner. You know what I mean? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. He calls himself this, and I'm not going to disagree. Do you want your favorite president to go back to Twitter now that Elon Musk owns it? Dave, Washington, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, Dave, what's happening?
Hey, well, my most favorite Twitter account that has been taken down is my own, a year and a half ago, when they took me down for saying I would take unvaccinated exposure to COVID versus unvaccinated exposure to polio, and I provided a link to the CDC website showing all the stats that would show polio was more, you know, was more deadly to me. So that's the one. Now, anyway, I am so excited to see Elon Musk take over Twitter because, for one, I'm going to participate with getting some of his money out of this deal. But for two, he is basically the savior right now of this country because a country destroys itself from within. And propaganda is what completely can destroy a country and take you to totalitarianism. Because when you one-sided direct the narrative, and then you get politicians that repeatedly refer to the narrative of, well, the polls say this, the polls say that, people think this and people think that. Well, guess what? Those are meaningless when those people that are answering these polls are getting fed propaganda from a one-sided narrative of the media. And that used to be television and social media. At least with him taking over Twitter, we can eliminate some of the social media narrative and get a little more free speech back into the equation.
Well, what did they say to you when they suspended your account?
They said I was spreading misinformation, and I challenged it. And after the challenge, they sent me a response back saying, oh, thank you, we reviewed your challenge, and we're upholding that we think you're spreading misinformation by me simply saying what I would rather take myself.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the kind of ridiculous. It really drives me crazy when you see the television people. They say, well, what does he mean by, you know, letting free speech? Does he mean he wants more hate speech and more people this, more people that? They act like everybody that's been taken down are completely terrible and horrible people. They won't acknowledge that some people were taken down, like me, for simply saying a point of view, and especially one that I can validate with the mathematics behind it, but they don't care. They just say, nope, you're not the prevailing narrative. We're going to take you down. You know, a real quick historical example that I think you'd find interesting, Galileo, who was called the father of modern-day science by Albert Einstein, he was actually tried for heresy and convicted back in the day when being tried for heresy was the equivalent of being a, you know, convicted of a federal a crime nowadays.
Right.
But he was tried for heresy for simply explaining to people that the Earth and all the planets revolve around the sun rather than all the planets revolving around the Earth. And that was the foundation of a lot of our science and physics. So for spreading what was the truth, he was basically forced to live the final years of his life under house arrest. That's what happens when you only allow a one-sided narrative, and if your narrative doesn't meet the, you know, the common goal of what the society says at the time, you're taken down. That's the kind of thing we have to fight against.
Dave, I got you, and I appreciate the call. Thank you. Open line now, 888-941-7247. Should Donald J. Trump, the former president, go back to Twitter? Should it be offered to him? I can't think of any reason why Elon Musk would not offer it to him, to be honest with you. Also, Jen Psaki is doing a 180 as far as what should happen with social media sites. Suddenly, they're not so in favor of social media sites working with the government because she knows that this guy won't, and she's sort of done an about-face. I'll have that for you, too. Again, do you think President Trump should go back on social media, on Twitter? Do you think that Alex Jones, somebody that a lot of people disagree with, should go back on Twitter? Do you think a lot of these very famous accounts, Juanita Broderick has been kicked off of Twitter. Should she be allowed back? The woman who says Bill Clinton raped her back in the day. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. It's a Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. I'll have that audio from and video, if you're watching, of Jen Psaki just doing a 180 and acting like it's no big deal. Remember, it wasn't very long ago, and Carrie, correct me if I get this wrong, the Biden administration actually said, if you're kicked off of one social media site, you should be kicked off all the social media sites, mm-hmm. and they should work with the government to make sure that we don't have anybody on there that's, you know, a terrorist or something. She was making up all sorts of reasons why they shouldn't
yep.
be on there.
Yep.
But, I mean, they said that, did they not?
They did, yes.
She's changed her tune a bit today.
Hmm.
Changed Imagine her tune a bit. That. So we'll have that for you coming up. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy now that somebody who owns Twitter isn't in their back pocket. Meantime, we tell you about a new sponsor. Got to tell you about Novo. Fortune favors the bold, the strong, the brave. For your business to break out of anything holding you back, you need business checking, as brave as you are. And introducing Novo Business Checking. Novo is a powerfully simple business checking. And unlike traditional banking, Novo has no minimum. Pretty cool. No minimum balance, no transaction limits, no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized to your business, save you time, free up some cash flow with seamless integrations into Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. Sign up for Novo for free and join a community of over 150,000 fearless small businesses who found the customizable business checking solution that admires their brave. Sign up for your free business checking account right now at Novo.com. Actually, it's Novo.co/PAGS, P-A-G-S. Again, because you listen to my program, you can access over $5,000 in perks and discounts. Go to novo.co/PAGS, novo.co/PAGS. Sign up for free. Novo Platform Incorporated is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, F.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. All right, appreciate them coming on and helping to sponsor the program. Let me give you what Jen Psaki had to say today when asked about Musk buying the platform Twitter.
Do you have a response to that? And does the White House have any concern that this new agreement might have President Trump back on the platform?
Well, I'm not going to comment on a specific transaction. What I can tell you as a general matter, no matter who owns or runs Twitter, the president has long been concerned about the power of large social media platforms, the power they have over our everyday lives, has long argued that tech platforms must be held accountable for the...
Just let you know, she's lying right now. He has never said these things. In fact, he's the one that was out there talking about Actually, he's the one that benefited, I should say, from his son's laptop not being reported on Twitter and other platforms. That would not have happened under Musk.
Harms they cause. He's been a strong supporter of fundamental reforms to achieve that goal,
not
including
true.
Reforms to Section 230.
That's a lie. The right has been complaining that Section 230 was not being upheld, that the social media platforms were not being upheld, or were not being held to Section 230, which stops them from being biased. And if they are biased, then they could be sued for libel. She's lying.
Acting antitrust reforms, requiring more transparency and more. And he's encouraged that there's bipartisan interest in Congress. In terms of what hypothetical policies might happen, I'm just not going to speak to that at this point.
So she's lying her face off. She knows it. Everybody there knows it. There won't be a harsh follow-up question. Won't be anybody holding her feet to the fire. She's just basically lying. It wasn't that long ago that she was at that same lectern or dais, or whatever the hell you want to call it, and where she was answering questions and saying that if you're kicked off of one social media site, you should be kicked off of every social media site. She wanted the government to work with the social media sites, basically making them an arm of the government. Now, we will have on... Sam, when do we have Brendan Carr on? Is it this week? Should be, right?
It should be this week, yes.
Okay, so Brendan Carr's with the FCC. We've had him on about Section 230 many times. We'll talk to him about this transaction and also some other things that he's been asking for from the FCC. Going to be very interesting. Make sure you stick around for that. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. It's going to be Joshua in Texas. Joshua, talk to me. Hi.
Yes, sir. You know, I think it's great Elon Musk is, you know, buying up Twitter and, you know, actually going to bring freedom of speech back to people. I got banned from some of the big dating websites, Bumble, and I think the other one was Hilly, for quote-unquote hate speech, because I've simply put in my profile that I was straight and only interested in biological women, and that was, you know, hate speech for them.
What?
It's ridiculous.
Oh, what site was that? What site?
Bumble, and the other one was called Hilly.
Never heard of that, but I mean, that's crazy. Why can't you say that? What did you say that's out of line?
Literally, all I put in my profile is I'm straight and only interested in biological women, because you get a lot of, you know, the alternative stuff on there. I mean, people can do that. That's fine. But I'm just not wasn't interested in that. And there wasn't an option to pick only biological women.
That's crazy.
So putting that in my dating profile is apparently hate speech for having a preference and an opinion.
You're not allowed. Joshua, I appreciate you telling me that. I don't know what Bumble is. That's a dating site. Okay. For me, you should be... Really, Sam? For me, you should be able to decide what it is that you're interested in when you go on a dating site. Why is that? You should be, just have trans people get a hold of you. You're not interested? That's kind of stupid. John, Ohio, less than a minute, but it's all yours. Let's go.
Hi, Joe. I would advise Trump not to go on Twitter, because if he does, no matter what he says, the left is going to just flood it with comments. So that's negative publicity, more negativity toward him. Whereas if he stays off, it'll calm down quite a bit, but they're just going to flood it if he gets on there. I really think it would be to his advantage to not go on Twitter.
Well, John, I hear you, but I'm not going to agree with you. 87 million people that he sends out one tweet, go to Truth Social, they all see it. If Elon Musk is doing what he says he would do and make it an even-handed, fair website where free speech is okay. 87 million potential people to go to his website, and he can keep his presence on Twitter. I don't think it hurts to have more than one. Yeah, even if you own the other one. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Lots going on, lots to get to. Busy, busy day. We will, at the bottom of this hour, have Carrie Lake on. She is running for governor of the great state of Arizona. She's got Trump's endorsement, which is the most sought-after endorsement in this country. I believe the primary in Arizona is going to be on August 2nd, and there are a few others. She calls them rhinos, but she's polling very well. The things she says that she would do about the border are things that you and I both want. Most of you anyway. And I've got some people who want the border to be open, some lefties looking for me to be, say something they can hold against me or something. For the vast majority of you that listen to the program because you like the entertainment, you like the education, you like the conversation, she wants to fix the border, which is what anybody who's got half a brain would like to see done as well. And there's breaking news on Twitter. Carrie, you see the breaking news during the break?
No.
It's already started. It has started on a Monday. It has started. That is Carrie Lockie. How you doing?
Fine.
Polo making it happen. Sam getting it done. I'm your talk monkey, Joe Pags, Pagliarulo. You remember, it was about 2 days in a row where the Babylon Bee was suspended from Twitter. And then I believe Charlie Kirk was suspended from Twitter for saying something similar about a trans female. In other words, a biological male pretending to be a female. And then Tucker Carlson took both their tweets, the Babylon Bee and Charlie Kirk, put them in a picture and posted that. Then he got suspended. During the break, just happened, Carrie, Tucker Carlson's account has been restored on Twitter.
Well, there you go. It is starting.
And he tweeted out, "We're back." Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, do I dare go and check out the former president's account to see if it's up?
That would be
the biggest news ever, wouldn't it?
Why not? Yeah.
Here, I think it's just Donald J. Trump, isn't it? No, I think it's real Donald J. Trump. Let's see here. Real Donald J. Trump. Nope. This account doesn't exist. That's so rude. Isn't that rude? That is so remarkably rude, I think. It's just stupid. So we have that for you, which is always nice. But yeah, they're starting to restore accounts, which is very, very interesting. During the break, because this is the way Polo's mind works, his mind works in puns and wordplay. I mean, Polo, you'd have to agree that that's the way your brain works.
Yeah, I'm kind of punny.
So he's got the Family Feud on. He's got nothing else going on right now. And well, he's watching.
I can't change the channel, so.
He just looked up. He said, "Is it weird that there's a woman on Family Feud right now whose name is Fat Time?"
What?
Right?
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't think that's how you pronounce it. He said, "No, well, I guess some would say Fatima or Fatima."
Yeah, I definitely go with that. No,
I think that it's actually Fatima, but I always thought there was an A at the end. Is there really an E at the end of this
name?
There
was an E. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what like threw me off.
Let me ask you this. Now, I don't think that would be Fatima. I think that'd still be Fatima or Fatima. Just maybe the E is the way that they spell. You know, they spelled it classically wherever her origins are, but. Let me ask you this. Are you allowed to laugh at stuff like that, Carrie, or not?
No, we are not. No. Cannot do that anymore.
I'm about to get myself in trouble again, and I got myself in trouble for this last time it happened. Do you know where I'm going?
I do not.
Names that aren't funny that sound funny?
What?
You don't remember this?
I don't remember.
I was accosted in the lobby of the radio station when I did this on the air.
I don't remember. No. You must tell the story.
Well, there is a mental condition. You know, there's autism. There's a spectrum. Nothing funny about it. Mm-hmm. I feel for the parents. I feel for the kids. I feel for everybody who's dealing with this. I wish that we could find a cure. There are several different reasons why this happens, I guess. There are other reasons that some people say is not why it happens, but those who believe firmly think that's why it's happening. But, dude, who named something Asperger's?
Oh, you know what? I do remember that. I do.
The name of the affliction is Asperger.
Upset.
You know, listen, I know that's probably some dude's name, and some people probably pronounce it Asperger's or something. It's not funny. It's not a cute condition. But how can I not? I'm stupid. I'm immature.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, I was agreeing with you. Yes. I'm mature.
It's pronounced Asperger. Come on, Carrie.
Oddly enough, with that one, I've never laughed at that one.
You don't think Asperger is funny? You go to McDonald's, hey, can I get an Asperger? You don't think that would be funny?
Not really, no.
Oh, you're just too snooty. Paul, you know it's funny.
Not too snooty. Come on, dude.
By the way, that lady was up on the front right now. Mm-hmm. The fat time lady.
You can't say that. You're going to be so. Somebody named Fatima is going to show up at the station now and say, tell me I'm fat time to my face.
PH.
I had this angry mom show up with her son who's mm-hmm. got Asperger's. That's not a funny condition. It's not funny at all. I'm not laughing at your son. You tell him it's funny. She's yelling at me in the lobby. I said, listen to me. Asperger. That's hilarious. Come on. So, okay, so you're saying we're not allowed to say fat time for Fatima?
No, not allowed at all. Mm-mm.
Couldn't they pronounce it Asperger? I mean, does it have to be Asperger?
No.
Yes, Polo.
I mean, isn't there like a P in there somewhere?
Probably. It's not pronounced Asperger. See, I'm going to need your input on this.
No comment.
Why? What is that? You can't cop out. We see your comment all over your face. Seriously, she's going to come and yell at you. Stop it. And let me say it again. And you guys, listen, you know that I'm an honest engine. Can I say honest engine?
No, you cannot. You can't say that no. either. You are come on, digging really? Yourself a hole.
What are you talking about?
You can't say hole either.
That's probably true. You probably can't. Thanks, Polo. Polo took it to the next level. From Asperger's, now he's talking about, okay. Anyway, let me say this again, because a lot of you think that I'm making fun of the condition. I'm not. The condition is not funny. The name is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, you care, like Horny Toad. Who named the toad the Horny Toad?
Not sure. You know what I mean? Who did that?
Can you research that and find out the origins of Horny Toad?
Oh, I did that during the break, sure.
Or how about the stupid game in the Midwest? Now, you played Husky Husker.
That was a great game. Great name.
But people probably not far from where you live playing cornhole. Why you got to name it cornhole?
I don't know. Don't Polo, know anything? Why they did that.
What's the matter with you?
I already told you, you can't say that.
Sam, help me out. You want
to... Is the FCC listening to this broadcast?
Yes. I will ask Brendan Carr if I'm allowed to say these things when he comes on the show this week. Yeah, but seriously. I don't know. Screw it. Call it cornhole. What? Carrie, how drunk were they in Nebraska when they came up with that one?
Probably quite a
You know you grew up with people playing cornhole. You know you did.
I did, yes. Yes. They have them. You can see it on TV, actually.
I had never heard of that game before. Had never heard of that game before, ever, until I moved to Michigan. And the first guy that said it to me almost got punched. I'm just going to put it out there. Very close to a violent occasion. All right, 888-941-PAC. I don't want you calling in about the funny names because you guys will go over the top. I've done what we can legally do within the FCC boundaries. And let me say this one more time. Parents, kids, if you're dealing with some sort of anything on the spectrum, it's not funny. I'm not making fun of the condition. I don't know why they had to name it after the guy. I don't know why they had to go there. Doesn't make any sense. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, you got a story about how turns out all those things that I just said that you really can't say, but you mm-hmm. can, but you can't. Mm-hmm. There's another word now that you can't say either because somehow it's...
Yeah.
Help me out.
From Fox News, the Washington State Legislature recently passed a bill replacing the word marijuana with cannabis in all state laws, citing the alleged racist origins of the Spanish word. Now, the term marijuana itself is pejorative and racist, said Democratic State Rep. Melanie Morgan, claiming during 2021 testimony regarding House Bill 1210, which she sponsored, according to local CBS affiliate KIRO7. As recreational marijuana use became more popular, it was negatively associated with Mexican immigrants, Morgan explained. Even though it seems simple because it's just one word, the reality is we're healing the wrongs that were committed against Black and brown people around cannabis. Morgan went on during her testimony to quote Harry Anslinger, the first commissioner of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, who played a pivotal role in the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937 that banned selling and processing cannabis. It was him that said, and I quote, marijuana is the most violent causing drug in the history of mankind, and most marijuana users are Hispanic, Caribbean, and entertainers. There's satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana usage, said Morgan. It was used as a racist terminology to lock up Black and brown people, she added. And Governor Jay Inslee signed the bill after it passed unanimously on March the 11th, and its provisions will go into effect in June.
Shut the face.
Racist. Can't use that word.
Do you know the direct translation of marijuana from Spanish to English or not?
Mary Jane?
No, that's not what marijuana means, does it?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I mean, that's why people also call marijuana Mary Jane.
Well, I mean, because there's an M and a J. I thought that's why they went with Mary Jane.
So, well, Maddie would be Mary.
Right.
Juana would be Jane.
Okay. That's actually kind of stunning. I thought that actually meant, I thought it meant like cannabis. I thought it meant like pot, weed. I thought there was a direct translation to stuff to get you high. That makes sense, though. Fine. So if it's really Mary Jane, I mean, is somebody named Mary Jane, would they really be called marijuana in Spanish?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean.
Have you ever met a Mary Jane who's Hispanic?
Wait, say that again.
I said if somebody were named Mary Jane, would they really in Spanish be called marijuana?
Well, it would probably be two words, not the one word.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. So I'm not sure I understand anything that you just read in that story, Carrie. Now, I understood it because it was English.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood the words, and I'm pretty good with quickly knowing definitions of words that I've heard before. But they're literally saying that black and brown people have been locked up because of the word marijuana. But if we call it cannabis, no more racism. Let me ask those of you listening in Washington State. We've got Spokane, we've got Seattle now, we've got Yakima, Walla Walla. We're all over Washington State. Let me just ask you something. What the hell is wrong with you people? Wait, what? And yes, I mean you, not just your government. Vote that ass out. What is wrong with you? This is what they spent legislative time on. That the word marijuana is somehow racist? That if you just got rid of the word marijuana, it would make up for all the horrible things that were done to black and brown people? Do something to where these people aren't reelected. Do something to get rid of this disgusting leadership you have that is running roughshod all over your freedoms. You can't say marijuana? What? They solved every other problem in Washington State. That this is the one that Carrie is. Can you check your news sources? Mm. Is every other problem solved in Washington State?
I don't think I have to check, but I'm just going to say no.
You're going to say no then?
I will say no.
Come on, Washington State. I want you to do better than this. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Bottom of the hour is going to be Carrie Lake running for governor of Arizona. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you, Motown Monday, on the Joe Pags Show. Thanks a lot for being here. Lots going on, lots to get to, lots to talk about. And Carrie, I brought up Washington State and fix it and do something about it, and I called them all out.
Yeah.
Phones are melting. They're melting. Yakima, Vancouver, Washington, Yakima, and they're going nuts. And they should. They should, because something has to be done. Don't tell, we can't do anything because the biggest metropolis area is blah, blah, blah. If they could elect Rudy Giuliani in New York City in the 90s, if they could elect George Pataki in the state of New York, knowing that 8 million people were, generally speaking, left-leaners in New York City, they did something. And that something might be that they're focusing on not being allowed to say the word marijuana. Maybe it could be focusing on the fact that crime in Seattle is on the uptick. Maybe it could be that Chaz or Chop existed. Maybe you can make a real case for people who are sort of left-leaning, but sort of don't really care as long as they're safe. Maybe you make that case. I don't know. I think something like that could be successful. I really do. And I hope that people will consider doing that. All right, let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. We're going to go right to Washington State. Bob is in Vancouver. Bob, talk to me.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you know, yeah, the Washington State has been corrupt for many years. You know, they're the model for everybody for voter by mail. And so that's a real thing that we've observed oftentimes, particularly governor races and stuff, that has been, you know, I think it's just been totally fraudulent. You know, the Governor Inslee and Bob Ferguson, his right-hand henchman, the attorney general, I mean, they're totally in the tank for leftism. You know, when he ran for president, man, his whole thing was climate change.
It was.
That was his, you know, of course, he didn't go anywhere.
Right.
But Seattle rules the state of Washington, unfortunately.
How do they do mail-in ballots there?
Well, anyway.
Does everybody get a mail-in ballot if they prove that they have the right to vote, or they just send them out to everybody?
I couldn't say that for sure, but, you know, it's all mail-in. You know, you can't go to a poll and vote anymore.
You can't even go there and vote. You're telling me you can't go in person?
No.
Dude, that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I first moved here many years ago, you could do it. But no more, you know, it's inconvenient or whatever.
Wow. Bob, I appreciate it. Oh, sorry. I appreciate you. No, I do. I wanted to sort of vibe on that a little bit. President Trump had his rally Saturday. And in that rally, he said, we have to have paper ballots. You go in there on election day and vote. And whether you make that a national holiday, whatever you do, that should be plenty of time for people to go and vote. We've got early voting, extended voting. Kerry, in this last election, correct me if I'm wrong, in some jurisdictions they were saying, well, if the ballot comes in 3 days after the election, yes, we'll still count it.
That is true.
Come on, dude. I mean, what are we talking about here? There's an election day. You know, that's a real problem. I asked Kerry Lake about this at the bottom. What are you going to do in Arizona where we know there were substantial votes that were counted that shouldn't have been? What are you going to do about it? If you have the same Dominion machines, if you have the same, you know, mail-in balloting, what is it that you can do to ensure election integrity? She gives a very good answer to that. So make sure you stick around for it. Let me go to line four. Paul is in Yakima. Paul, tell me how the mail-in votes work.
Okay. You can. It is 100% mail-in. You can register to vote even on the day of the election. You can register to vote with your computer. You don't even have to show your face to anybody.
Wow.
I guess a dog could register to vote if they had a person doing the keyboard. And there's no way to check what you voted. I was telling the screener, I'm a real conservative guy. When we went to mail-in balloting, I started getting catalogs for stuff like t-shirts that say We Live Che, and, you know, it's completely
wow
left-wing liberal stuff. So I'm sure I'm on some mail-in list for that stuff, because, you know, you send in your ballot, and who knows what is actually counted as. And another point on the mail-in ballots, they're not secret at all. You know, you have an envelope that you put the ballot in, and then another envelope that goes on the outside. But both of them have QR codes and barcodes. And I remember one year the auditor was saying, well, if you forget to sign your ballot, we'll try and contact you. You know, that, how can they try and contact you if it's a secret ballot?
Exactly.
You know, I agree with the previous caller. The system here is totally corrupt. So there's really nothing we can do about it.
Well, I think you can. If you somehow can get the legislature to listen to you. Paul, I appreciate it. I'll let you go and take care of that cat in the background, if you don't mind. You know what I mean, Kerry? I heard the cat in the background.
Yeah,
really
a couple
into
of times.
It.
Yeah.
And the cat was like, well, we can't vote. Mail-in. the bottom line is you have to be able to find something, and maybe that crack to fall through is the legislature. Kerry Lake up next. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Thanks a lot for stopping by. Glad to have you along for the ride. Always glad to have this young lady back. She, I hope, will be the next governor of the great state of Arizona. It's Kerry Lake. Kerry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's good to be on your show today.
You know, you are doing great. You're out there saying the right things, and I know that you really do want to implement these things once you get into office, which, again, hopefully is going to happen. You've got the huge support of former President Trump, which is an endorsement that everybody in this country wants if they're running for office on the right side, on the conservative side. You're an America First person, and you're sick and tired of seeing what's happening at the border. So there are it's a litany of stuff we can talk about, Carrie, but I want to start with this. I know that Chip Roy and Marjorie Taylor Greene and I think Kevin McCarthy are down at the border today, and they're seeing 50 at a time. Just come right over. Hey, just come on over. And we had a National Guardsman die saving the lives of two illegal aliens coming across the border the other day in the Rio Grande. This thing isn't getting any better, is it?
No, I'm sick about the loss of life down there with that guard member. And, you know, Joe Biden's got blood on his hands, pure and simple. We have a national security crisis. We have a humanitarian crisis. We've got a drug crisis in our country. And it all falls squarely on Joe Biden and his horrible leadership. The man is not capable to lead. And I think he's an illegitimate president. He came in and has brought us destruction at our border. We had a border that was as secure as I'd ever seen it in my 27 years in Arizona under President Trump. And Joe Biden came in on day one. He stopped the construction of the wall. He stopped the policies that were working, like remain in Mexico. He stopped the asylum policy. It's called the asylum third country asylum policy. He's pulled that back. And now he's about to pull back Title 42. It's going to get so much worse, and I have a sneaking feeling he's going to try to grant every single one of these people asylum. And I'll tell you what, the people of this country will not sit back and let that happen.
It's Carrie Lake. Go to CarrieLake.com. She is running for governor of the great state of Arizona. You know, Carrie, I grew up in South Florida, and I think I've told you this before. And when I was growing up in 1980, the Mariel boatlift came from Cuba. These were people that were let out of prison by Fidel Castro. And they ended up in the Chrome Detention Center. Many of them got sent back because they were criminals. Those who really did have an asylum claim stayed. I understand what asylum is. Asylum isn't my job doesn't pay well enough in Honduras. Let me go to the United States. The asylum isn't, oh, you know, I can't find the proper brand of groceries. Let me go to the United States. Asylum is you're killed if you're the wrong religion. You die if you speak out against the government. You are literally going to lose your children and you never see them again. They might be raped and put into human trafficking if you don't get the hell out of there. Why have we tried to change? Why do you think the left is trying to change what asylum is? And we just open the doors and say, hey, come on in. No problem.
You're right. I mean, asylum, and I have it right here, a U.S. statute. It's when you're being targeted by an individual or group by your government for religion, ethnicity, race, or political beliefs. Right. It's not for economic reasons. It's not because there's a gang that's causing violence to you. I mean, these are sad situations, but that's not how U.S. statute is written. And the reason they want it is these are activists. They are left-wing activists, asylum activists, who are trying to rubber stamp all of these people pouring across, these illegal aliens pouring across. They're rubber stamping them. They want to go around the law, and they want to hand out citizenship like it's candy. And we have had enough. Here in Arizona, people are fed up. There are Democrats who are fed up. There are independents who are fed up. And there are Republicans who are fed up. We cannot afford to take on the world's problems. And we can't afford to take on the poverty of the world. And a lot of criminals are coming across right now. And these activists, these asylum activists, they want to give basically citizenship is what it's going to amount to a bunch of asylum fraudsters. We're not going to have it. There will be hell to pay if they try this.
It's Carrie Lake. Go to CarrieLake.com. Support her candidacy. Is it because they really do have compassion for these people and we've got to help out the poor and downtrodden? Or is it what you just said? They're hoping to make these people citizens on the fast track and get them to vote for them.
Yeah, I really think it's the latter. We all have a heart and compassion. Absolutely. Americans are the most compassionate people, but we got to start using our brain for once when it comes to what's going on at the border. And it's activists who are trying to change the demographics, the voting demographics in this country. They know that their policies are dead-end policies. We don't have to go far to see that. You just head right over to California and you see the disastrous policies of the left on full display. It's like a zombie apocalypse over there. The people are rejecting that. They've also tried to steal our elections. And they've been successful at that. And they know that we know how they're cheating. And now that they can't cheat on the elections like they were going to in such wide scale, they're realizing they got to bring new people in, give them citizenship, give them voting rights, and then they'll get their people elected. It's not going to happen because the people of this country are rising up.
I'm with you, and they certainly are. It's Carrie Lake, K-A-R-I-L-A-K-E, CarrieLake.com. Go there and support her candidacy. She is running. She's the Republican running for governor of the great state of Arizona. President Trump gives his endorsement, which I think is very wise. Again, that endorsement is one that is the most sought after for anybody who's running on the right now. Let's talk about
what... I'm so honored to have his endorsement, and let me just say something about that endorsement. President Trump was the greatest president of our lifetime, for sure, maybe one of the greatest ever. He woke us up. He taught us that we can implement America First policies. They do work. And frankly, they're the only way out of the mess we're in right now. And everyone loves President Trump. If you believe the media, you'd swear that nobody liked him. But right. I'm out there on the campaign trail every day, Joe. People adore him. They adore his policies. They want him back. And we have an illegitimate president sitting in the White House after a corrupt election. And so I'm so honored to have President Trump's endorsement and the entirety of the America First movement.
But what I love is that if he's at a rally and you're not even there, he's still calling your name out. He wants everybody to know Carrie Lake is going to be the greatest governor in the country. Let me ask you about this. Carrie, if you get the governor's office, right, and there you are ready to go, but you've got 2 years of Biden still in place, Biden and the executive get to control immigration and naturalization. And I've talked to you about this before. We see what Greg Abbott has tried to do here in Texas. Some of it successful, some of it not so much. What can you do as the chief executive of a state when the purview of immigration and naturalization is up to the federal government?
Well, the federal government, you're right, Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, the Guarantee Clause, they're supposed to protect us from invasion. They're failing at that. It's a dereliction of duty. And we have the remedy in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. This is where the states can protect their own citizens. They can protect their own border. And that's exactly what we're going to do. On day one, we issue a declaration of invasion, unless our governor, our current governor, does so, which I hope he does. If he doesn't, on day one, I do. And then we get our Arizona National Guard troops down to the border, armed to take on the cartels and stop people from coming across our border. We're going to sign an interstate compact similar to the one that Doug Ducey mentioned this week, but it's going to have more teeth in it. We're going to have other states that care about our border send their National Guard down to our border, get more boots on the ground, because we're going to need lots of people on the ground to stop people from coming across. And we're going to, when people do come across, we're going to grab them, we're going to process them, and we're going to send them back across the border. It's plain and simple. Once they realize that we are enforcing trespassing laws, that we are not going to allow people to stay here, they'll stop coming through Arizona. And then the pressure will be on those blue states to do the same.
But
we're not going to take it. We can't take all these people coming in. We're not going to allow the drugs to pour in. They're using drones every day to drop drugs off and do surveillance.
It's crazy. And we do nothing.
We're going to start shooting those drones down. Good. I mean, it's pretty simple. Shoot them down, blow up the drug tunnels, and get tough on the border for once.
What I heard you say the other day was really, really big of you. You said, I'll give it to Ducey now. I'll give it to the governor right now. Here's the plan. If he wants to implement, he could take all the credit for it. But this is something that we need to put in place now. So this isn't you playing politics. If you do this, then I'll do that. You're actually saying, I want to help support Arizona now. And you're willing to put your entire deal in his hands. What has he said?
I actually did that already before I put it out on January 4th. As we put our policy together with some of the best minds on the border, with some of the best minds when it comes to the U.S. Constitution, I gave that plan to Governor Ducey, said, take it, please implement this. We need to talk about this. We got to get this going now. And I didn't hear back from him. So I know he's taken little parts and pieces from it, and that's great.
Right.
But you got to go the full measure. This is not something that you want to half-ass. We got to go the full measure here and make sure we're protecting the border.
It would be great for his legacy had he just jumped on board. It's Carrie Lake. Go to K-A-R-I-L-A-K-E.com. Go to CarrieLake.com. Support her candidacy. The former President Trump is supporting her candidacy. Let me ask you this. How is this different than what Jan Brewer put into place with SB 1070, where she mirrored the law that's on the books in the United States in Arizona? Eric Holder and Barack Obama went after her, and they won because the courts agreed that it's completely and solely up to them.
Well, yeah, and it, too bad we couldn't have it go through right now with the makeup of the court being a little bit different.
Right.
You know, I think there are ways that we can implement laws and make laws here that we can then follow in Arizona. And I'm ready to rumble with the federal government. We want them out. They're not doing us any good here. They're doing us an incredible amount of harm. And if they're not going to be helpful in protecting this country, we'll take it on. The states will take that duty. And it won't be just Arizona. This race for governor of Arizona that I'm in is the most important election coming up in the country, because every single state wants a secure border. They're feeling the effects of the drugs. They're feeling the effects of the illegal aliens coming across, the smuggling going into their states, and they want it to come to an end. But unfortunately, if they don't sit on the border, their governor can't do much about it.
Right.
I can, and I'm the only person running in this election who is vowing to do something. I'm running against a bunch of rhinos, as President Trump called them. One of them who's spending her husband's billions trying to run these splashy ads, acting like she's tough on the border when she's an open borders globalist rhino, who is actually, when she was on the Board of Regents, actually voted to give illegal immigrants lesser, they paid less tuition than American students.
Crazy.
We can't have somebody like that in office. So it is a critical race that we get me in and we secure this border. If we lose another border state, I'm afraid we're going to lose the whole country.
It's Carrie Lake running for Arizona governor, and I pray that she wins. President Trump supports her candidacy. Go to CarrieLake.com, CarrieLake.com, support her candidacy right now. I wanted to ask you about the voting machines and how confident you can make America First conservatives, Republicans, how confident can you make them heading to the polls in November? Because in Arizona, specifically in Maricopa County, there are tens of thousands of votes that should not have been counted. I mean, Cyber Ninjas uncovered that. Tens of thousands that should not have counted. They were either illegal, they were out of the, they didn't live in the district, they didn't live where they voted, they left the state, and some of them still voted. Plus, we've got the debacle with somebody deleting, you know, the file that had all the results on it off the hard drive, which is also illegal. Are those machines going to still be used?
Well, not if I can help it. I, on Friday, along with Mark Fincham, who's running for Secretary of State, we filed an injunction in federal court to get the state to ban those machines, those electronic voting machines that count our votes here. And this is about security and transparency. This is for all Arizonans, whether you've got a D behind your name or an R or you're an independent. And, you know, just remember, it was just a few years ago that we had a lot of Democrats, and I've got several videos showing that these Democrats were saying, look, these machines are being hacked.
Right.
They're not reliable. We don't know how they work. So this is a bipartisan issue. Nobody wants these machines, and they're easily hackable. They can be set up to connect to the internet, although you can still hack them if they're not set up to the internet. And we don't even know exactly how they work. They won't even tell us how they work. We want transparency when it comes to counting our votes. So I have gotten involved and filed an injunction to get rid of these electronic voting machines. Good. Here in Arizona, because we want them out before the next election. We want honest elections. And I think we've got a good chance that the courts will rule in our favor on this.
We're gonna keep a close eye on it, because if it happens there, it'll happen elsewhere as well. And I've seen a Dominion video where they actually show how it connects to the LAN, the local area network, how it connects to the internet. And then they try to say that it doesn't connect, but then there are USB ports. But why do you have USB ports? Well, we're not really sure. That's for something. The whole thing is screwed up. They won't, Carrie, you said it. They will not tell us how the machines work. Why would we trust them?
Exactly. And think about this. The components for these machines are made by our enemy in China, the CCP. So we're having our enemy make components that go into our voting machines. It's outrageous.
It is.
And I remember hearing vividly on tape Kamala Harris saying that she watched with her own eyes as a Dominion machine got hacked in front of her own eyes. So we got to get rid of these. In 2016, we had Democrats up in arms about these machines and about the election. In 2020, we saw widespread corruption in many states. America wants to have secure, honest elections. We're doing this for ourselves, for every future election, for our children. And this is one step we can make that will shore our elections up and make sure they're more honest.
And not really asking much that we have a fair election. It's Carrie Lake, CarrieLake.com. Go and support her candidacy. One last question. We just before we started this interview found out that Elon Musk did buy Twitter. We know that Twitter and all other social media hid the Hunter Biden laptop story so that people would know about it going to vote in 2020. either 10% by one study, 16% by another study, said they would not have voted for Joe Biden had they known about the contents of that hard drive on Hunter Biden's laptop. Is this a game changer, Carrie, if Elon Musk actually makes it a free speech platform again, the way it was supposed to be back 15 years ago?
Makes me happy running for governor, right, being a conservative. I've been worried that they're going to just, I'll wake up one day and they've cut me out on Twitter and they've canceled my account. Right. So I'm actually really excited. Can't wait to see President Trump get back on Twitter. And we need free speech. And that means sometimes we hear things that we don't agree with.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's what free speech is about. Whenever I hear somebody say something and I go, okay, I disagree with them or that irritates me, I think, wow, that's our free speech at play there. But it's only been going one way. It's been a one-way street for a long time. This has got to be freaking out the corrupt people, that small section, but loud section of radical leftists who thought that they could own social media, who thought that they could, rig the machines, yep, who thought that they could rig the election. We are having win after win after win, and we're not going to let them take our country from us.
Oh, they're freaking out. You go check out Twitter today. Carrie, they're freaking out. People are leaving. They're all saying, we're out of here. And look, if you don't want free speech then you didn't want free speech to begin with Twitter. They wanted it to be their own little playpen, and it can't be. Carrie, I wish you nothing but the best. We're going to see you, I think, in a couple of weeks, which is awesome. I can't wait to do that with you. And come on often. I want you to win. I want you to do what you say that you'll do, and I think it'll start making Arizona great again and the country great again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you again. I'll come on anytime, Joe.
All right. Talk to you soon. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you, Carrie Lake. I hope she wins in Arizona. Quite the candidate, that's for sure. Hey, let me tell you about Super Beats. As we age, the fatigue and failing endurance we feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. You try that, 6, 7, 8, 10 cups of coffee a day, maybe a sugary drink with caffeine in it as well. Gonna give you that boost, and then it's gonna drop right off. Why do that when you can get Super Beats Heart Chews? A tasty treat. They give you the energy you need. They're good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, candy for a quick pick-me-up. Just add 2 delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your entire day. No caffeine crash here. Super Beats Heart Chews, unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract, promote heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. They taste delicious, too. Non-GMO beets with the grapeseed extract combined to make a delicious treat that are good for you as well. Go check them out now, joelovesbeets.com. Get up to 45% off. Again, free shipping too. joelovesbeets.com. It's your best offer available anywhere. joelovesbeets.com, up to 45% off at joelovesbeets.com. Do not hesitate. You know you've been wanting to try them. Go and try them now. Get some Super Beets. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
The culture war continues. Great to have you. Elon Musk becoming the owner of Twitter. That has changed things. I've added 500 or 600 people just today. People are being seen. I'm seeing what they're posting. They're seeing what I'm posting. It's a different world when it's an equal balance. A lot of lefties are triggered and they're running away from the website. It's so stupid. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you not want there to be fair play? Carrie, this would almost be like, let's say you and I are in a softball league, right?
Okay.
And you're on one team. I'm on the other. My team starts the game with 5 runs. And now let's play the game.
That doesn't seem very fair. At all.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Because that's not how it works.
Well, if we both started 0-0, that would trigger me. I would not feel like I was visible. I would not feel as though I were somehow included. I need 5 runs to start the game.
No.
Or else I'm going to cry and scream and pull my hair out.
Well, you can sit and cry all you want, but that's not going to, how we're going to play the game.
I mean, obviously, you get the comparison because the left has always been seen. They've been visible. They've been allowed to go viral. You know, people with 500 followers could get 19,000 retweets, whereas I've got 112,000 followers, I get 9 retweets. It just wasn't fair. Now, I don't want it to be imbalanced and get revenge by giving me a bunch of follows and stuff. I just want people to be able to find me. They go on Twitter, they should be able to find my account. Here's something interesting, because you were talking earlier that people were canceling their accounts. I'm getting emails from people saying, I was never on Twitter, I just joined today.
Yeah, or they were reinstating their, you know, reinstating their accounts.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're beaten down enough, you're like, oh, why would I keep going back to this website that doesn't allow me to be seen? So it's all very interesting. If you're just joining us, Elon Musk did, in fact, make an offer, and it was accepted, either $43 or $44 billion. I've seen reports in both numbers. What's $1 billion between friends, right, Carrie?
I mean, please, $1 billion here, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Chump change.
Thank you. So we've got that for you. And the reason why I bring that up is the story Carrie's got, and I'll play this song in a second, but the story that Carrie's got, actually, I mean, this is the woke versus the free speech. If you're woke, you don't believe in free speech. If you believe in free speech, you are not woke. I'll expand upon that in a second on a Monday. The question is, did Elon Musk take over today? No. He bought it, and it's his. But I think, Carrie, I could be wrong. I think it's 6 months.
Yeah, it's going to be sometime this year. Yes.
Yeah. But they did put a provision in place that changed all of the software so that people who were working there before, they, like, you know, remember once when Trump was deleted from Twitter and it was somebody who was working there overnight that was quitting, and her last thing she wanted to do was delete his account?
Yeah.
So
they can't do
they
want to
make sure
now?
That can't happen. No, they cannot. So that's good. But no, he won't take over the actual operation, I think, for 6 months. But he's going to, of course, oversee everything. And very smart to have that software in place to stop these disgruntled employees from going nuts. The new software put in place, I would have to assume, is allowing people to be visible. The software stopping, I mean, I don't know if you can flip a switch and change the algorithms. I don't think so. But he's also made many claims in the past couple of months that he's going to make all the algorithms transparent. How does it work? Why does it work? Why are they doing it? So either I'm seeing an increase in how many people I'm getting to join and who see my stuff, because people are re-engaging with Twitter now that they think that it's going to be better, which I hope it will be. But, yeah, I don't think you're going to see the wholesale changes for 6 months, which is interesting to me. Because it's already been very good day one, which is odd, because you don't expect that. I expect to wake up and either I gained, you know, 30 people or I lost 300, depending on what Twitter decided overnight. But we've seen a steady gain throughout the day and people actually responding to what it is that I'm saying. And I'm sure everybody is getting that same sort of virality. So you've got the unwoke. Elon Musk is not woke. He wants free speech. And let me say it again, and I mean this. If you are somebody who lives in a world of free speech, you are not woke. If you're woke, you don't believe in free speech. You believe that you can decide which speech should be acceptable. You've got to be careful for trigger words and everything else. Well, you've got a story, because I really do see this like an Elon Musk versus Google now. Mm-hmm. The unwoke versus the woke. Because Google's going to help you write your next paper. Is that the story?
Yeah, well, if your face doesn't hurt now, it will. This is from the New York Post. Google has rolled out a new inclusive language function that's intended to steer its users away from what it deems to be politically incorrect words like landlord and mankind. Google Docs introduced the woke feature this month that shows pop-up warnings to people typing in words or phrases considered to be non-inclusive, such as policeman, fireman, or housewife. And the online word processor's algorithm will alert them, and their chosen terms may not be inclusive to all readers, and then goes a step further by suggesting alternative, more inclusive words to use. For example, it might suggest humankind instead of the gendered mankind, or police officer instead of policeman. And the new AI-powered language feature called assistive writing has been widely panned by critics, who have accused the search engine of being both intrusive and preachy. Vice writers found that when they attempted to type in words like annoyed and motherboard, the seemingly innocuous terms were flagged for being insufficiently inclusive. And meanwhile, a transcription of an interview with former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke, where he uses the N-word and says a host of other reprehensible things about black people, raised no red flags. Google's popular free online document editor raised issues with Martin Luther King Jr.'s iconic I Have a Dream speech, suggesting the civil rights leader should replace the fierce urgency of now with the intense urgency of now. Google Docs algorithm also took issue with President John F. Kennedy's use of the phrase for all mankind in his inaugural address and helpfully suggested swapping it for all humankind. And even Jesus Christ did not get a pass from the search engine, with the writing feature taking a swipe at the use of the word marvelous in the Sermon on the Mount, suggesting the Son of God should have used lovely instead.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, boy.
Jesus wasn't good enough for this thing?
No. What is wrong with the word marvelous?
No idea. MLK wasn't good enough for them?
No. No.
Carrie, what am I missing here?
President Kennedy, I'm telling you, this makes your face hurt. Annoyed?
Now,
what is wrong with that word?
Would you agree, factually speaking, that if you're woke, you don't believe in free speech?
Yes.
And if you believe in free speech, you can't be woke?
Yes.
I mean, it's really kind of simple. And I'm not sure why this isn't easily understood. We've seen for years now people protesting to try to shut down free speech and actually literally resorting to violence to shut people up. And when you ask them about it, they say it's okay. We do believe in free speech, just not violent speech. So they think they can be violent with something that they've deemed violent speech that isn't violent at all. I don't know if there's any violent speech, to be honest with you. Because speech is just words. But even saying that, who's using this? Why do you think Google thought there was a need to have this writing companion that would go through and stop you from saying mankind or motherboard? What's wrong with motherboard? You have to say mother or fatherboard?
Or human board.
What's wrong with landlord?
I don't know.
That's a thing?
I'm not woke.
Because let me be as clear as I can, Carrie. If I own the land, I am therefore the lord of the land. That's a call me as such. You know? It's just so stupid. I mean, why are we having this discussion? We've got 30, 40, 50, 60% increases in violent crimes in our inner cities. We've got people buying $6 million mansions who swear they're for black lives, and they're not. They're for their own lives, and they happen to be black. We've got people who are dying because of how our country and its value system is decaying. And we've got Google, one of the most powerful corporations on the planet, giving you the option to have a woke algorithm go through your speech or your document or your hypothesis and fix it?
I'm sorry. If Jesus says it's marvelous, then it is marvelous.
Don't say marvelous on my show.
Do not change. I will say marvelous all day.
Racist.
Because there's nothing wrong with the word marvelous.
What are you, like Christ?
Yes.
Anyway, so, yes, it's your yes. I mean, shouldn't they listen? I know why they're saying mankind is no good, because it allegedly isn't inclusive, but it is. Man comes from human. We all fall into that. They took off the hue, or in New York, they would say you. They just say human in New York.
Not good enough, though. Not
what they do. It covers everybody. Mankind includes, you have to say humankind?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
You have to say man and womankind?
Humankind.
And the whole motherboard thing, I don't understand. I thought that we were, look, if you're going to be woke, you should stop talking about the patriarchy, which is man. If it's called a fatherboard and you want to call it a motherboard, I understand your argument.
Mother.
It would be stupid.
I mean, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that?
Carrie, this week, you know that Apple put out the pregnant man emoji.
Yes. Yeah, I saw.
Did you see what Elon Musk did with it?
I did. Yes.
I mean, come on, dude. Come on. He made a direct comparison to that and a picture of Bill Gates. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. So, if I ever had somebody speak to me in English that way, that was all woke and all, every verb, every noun, every pronoun, every dangling participle. Can I say dangling participle or is
that? No, you can't. No.
You can't, probably can't.
You're white, you're male, you're straight. You can't.
That's Christian. I'm in big trouble.
Ooh,
Every part of the sentence structure has to somehow include everybody. And if it doesn't, then you're in big trouble.
Right. This is right.
I got to tell you, listen, this Elon Musk thing on Twitter could not have come at a better time. Because let's go ahead and I don't mean this a war in literal sense where we're killing each other. Let's have this value, this woke versus free speech war right now. Let's get it done. Let's do this through words. Let's do it through websites. Let's do it through talk shows like this. Let's do it through the callers who are going to call in now. Let's have that combat without physical combat. Dumbasses who think I mean take up arms. I'm not saying that. Let's have that verbal combat. Let's really go through this and make a decision. Because either the First Amendment says what it says or it doesn't. And are there restrictions? Sure. But the restrictions aren't on mankind, Marvelous, and Landlord. That's just stupid. Stupid! 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. It's your Monday edition. 888-941-7247, joepags.com. It's the woke versus the free speech crowd. It really is, and they're separate. You cannot be woke and be for free speech. You're not. And if you think you are, you're lying to yourself, or you've been indoctrinated to believe something that doesn't work. All right? Oh, by the way, a lot of great guests this week. Devin Nunes tomorrow. He is the boss over at Truth Social. Former U.S. congressman, always a target of the left. Yeah, very interesting to see what his take is on Twitter, knowing that he's still building Truth. Dinesh D'Souza on Wednesday. Looks like Ted Poe's coming on Wednesday. Michael Franzese is back on Friday. The former mob boss, he's got a brand new book out called Mafia Democracy that you're going to get your hands on, okay? So we're going to do all that, and then some even more guests that we're working on as well. Meantime, let me tell you about Stamps.com. You have a small business, been telling you about Stamps.com. Inflation isn't doing any favors right now. Harder than ever to stay profitable. Look for ways to cut costs. You could do so by using Stamps.com to mail and ship and get access to exclusive discounts and great rates on shipping from USPS and UPS. It's a great way and an easy way to keep more money in your pocket. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been an indispensable partner for over a million businesses. Stamps.com gives you access to all the post office and USPS or UPS shipping services you need. At your computer, save up to 30% off of USPS, 86% off of UPS, whether you're an office sending out invoices, an Etsy shop sending your products, or a warehouse shipping out truckloads of orders. Stamps.com is the mailing and shipping solution that you need. Go right now. Start mailing and shipping with Stamps.com. Keep more money in your pocket every day. Sign up with promo code PAGS, P-A-G-S, for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page. Enter code PAGS. Stamps.com, code PAGS, P-A-G-S. Make that happen and make it happen right now. We go to Dennis in California. Dennis, talk to me. Hi.
Hi, Joe. Hey, thanks for being a voice out there for everyone.
Doing the best I can. Thank you.
Yep. So I was thinking that it seems like what we're going through as a country is almost similar to the Stockholm Syndrome. We're lied to, we're abused by politicians, the woke crowd, pick a party. And what happens is we keep voting them in, like the Stockholm Syndrome people keep staying with the abusers. It's really our responsibility if we don't like how it is at a school board, a senator, a president, whatever, for us to stand up and vote them out.
But Dennis, I get this all the time from people in your state, people in Washington state, people in New York state, who say we can't. There are too many blue here. We cannot physically vote them out. We are stuck. There's nothing we can do. They throw their hands up. What would you suggest?
Wow. You give up, you might as well just stay in bed. I don't believe in giving up the fight. I believe that it's our duty as American citizens to fight the good fight.
We agree.
Or we just surrender and go home. I don't understand that mentality. Yeah, we're outnumbered here, but We didn't start out that way, and we don't have to end up that way.
Dennis, I'm with you. I appreciate the phone call. Very well said. You know, he's right. California was never going to go Republican, and then Schwarzenegger won. New York was never going to go Republican, and Pataki won. You know, these changes can happen, and dire times really do affect change. And it's dire. The crime issue is dire. The inflation issue is dire. The energy issue is dire. The free speech issue is dire. It's time now to say, listen, I'm going to put my politics aside, and I'm going to hold my nose and vote for the opposite of what we have now, because what we have now simply doesn't work. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, I've got to get this story about this. I think we've been covering this football coach for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a minute and a half, 2 minutes. If you don't mind, fill us in. He's not done fighting, is he?
No, he's not. This is from CBS News. It was after watching the sports film Facing the Giants that Joseph Kennedy, then a new coach for the Bremerton High School football team in Washington State, was inspired to pray. And so after coaching his first game for the Bremerton Knights in August 2008, Kennedy walked to the 50-yard line on the battlefield, the retired U.S. Marine says, and took a knee to offer a prayer of gratitude. It began with the coach alone, briefly thanking God after the final whistle for keeping the players safe, for fair play, and for spirited competition. But soon enough, the number of players gathering alongside Kennedy after games grew to include a majority of the team, though participation varied. At least one parent said his son felt compelled to participate out of fear he would lose out on playing time. And soon enough, the prayers by Kennedy, himself a graduate of Bremerton High School, evolved into motivational speeches with religious references. For 7 years, Kennedy continued his practice of praying on the field with no issues. But in September 2015, the Bremerton School District learned what he was doing when an opposing team's coach told Bremerton High School's principal, Kennedy asked his players to join him for the postgame prayer, saying he thought it was pretty cool the district would allow such activity, according to court records. That observation by the opposing coach served as the catalyst for a years-long battle between Kennedy and the school district, the venue for which shifted from the gridiron to the courts when the coach lost his job after defying directives to end his practice of praying on the field. Kennedy argued he was engaging in constitutionally protected religious expression, and on Monday, the United States Supreme Court will weigh his bid to get his coaching job back and be allowed to pray at midfield after games.
I mean, that's a big deal. Supreme Court says we're going to hear it. Supreme Court right now, you would believe, is 6-3 conservative. Not so sure that's true, but that's allegedly the split. John Roberts has been leaning left a little bit, but you should have enough to say, of course you've got the First Amendment right to worship as you see fit. He's not hurting anybody. He's never said you're excluded if you don't come and pray with me. Any student or any athlete who thought, I might be left out if I don't go and pray, simply had to ask the coach, will I be left out if I don't pray? And the coach would have given him the answer, no. I don't want the coach to leave anybody out who doesn't pray. There are people of different religions, but for him to want to hit a knee, no matter where it happens to be in the community, and tell him you can't, you know, praying for a good outcome or praying for nobody to get hurt or praying after the game, that doesn't make any sense according to our Constitution. I can't wait to see what the Supreme Court does with this. Carrie, I appreciate that. All right, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com, Crane News with Kay. When we come back, stay here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always glad to have back this young lady. She, of course, writes for the Daily Caller, part of our family here. She is Kay Smythe, Crane News with Kay on a Monday. Kay, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm so sweaty, Joe. It is so hot in North Carolina. Hmm. It is obnoxious. I'm not ready for this summer. I didn't move here for this. I miss the desert, but I don't miss California. How are you?
It shows that we're friends because normally you'd say, fine, how are you? But no, I got the sweaty. I don't think anybody's ever said I'm sweaty. Was the answer. That's pretty good. Now, in North Carolina, I visited not too long ago in North Carolina. They had air conditioning there. Have you looked into air conditioning? You look like you're inside of a place.
Well, I would have put the air conditioning on, but every time I do the news for you, you're like, what's that humming in the background? And then everyone thinks that you're being mean to me and I have to do the AC on.
No, I think last time it was the fan on your computer or something. Like, what are all the noises going on? Then there's a cat that walks by. No, you know? Listen, so you'll be sweaty for this interview, and then you can get some AC going. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I got to get into some stories here. You don't ever really hear about hepatitis anymore. Not that it's gone. It's not. People still have it. There are different levels of hepatitis, different treatments for hepatitis. But you never really hear about, okay, there's an outbreak of hepatitis. But you found one. Where is this?
So, Joe, this is a global outbreak of hepatitis. Wow. So we're not just looking at one particular country here. It's about 11 different countries spread between here in the Americas and then over in Europe. So there's been about just over 160 cases. We've had one death. We've had at least 17 need liver transplants. Now, here's where the story gets a little bit scary and very sad, is that all of these cases are in children aged between about a month old and then about 17 years old. What so, the? And we have no idea where this is coming from. Like, science, they're still trying to determine where this actual outbreak has come from. Because you're right. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, I've been vaccinated against hepatitis, like all the versions that you can get vaccinated against. And so I don't know why we've had this outbreak. I know that there were about 9 children in Alabama, several of whom needed liver transplants, and then 2 actually here in North Carolina. So far. So I guess the big message for your listeners today, especially if they do have children, is, you know, if your kids are coming home with sort of like symptoms of like jaundice, if they're coming home and just like not really generally feeling well, just keep an eye out. OK, it's probably not hepatitis, but you never know with these outbreaks. I just think it's something that people should be aware of as we sort of go through these changing seasons, you know? Like, I don't know if you guys can see, but I'm very pink because I got very sunburned this weekend.
Yes.
And, you know, my body's reacting to it again today. And I think it's just one of those times where, I don't know, I'm not a parent, but I take care of a lot of my friends' kids.
Right.
And, you know, kids get very complainy during the summer when it starts getting warm, but let's just take it a little bit more seriously this year.
And hepatitis, normally we can find patient zero. Normally we can find the source of it. Hey, somebody was dirty or unwashed or unclean or whatever at the burger joint, and then we go in and we say, okay, this is where you got it. Let's say anybody who went to that burger joint should go and get checked out now. You're saying that we can't even do that?
No, we can't even do that. And that's because it's literally 11 different countries, Joe. I think Israel was pretty hard hit. The UK, wow. There was about 140 cases in the UK. I've never even met someone who's gotten hepatitis. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually you can sort of trace it back to a person or a thing. And that's, I guess, what the World Health Organization is trying to do right now. But it's a very bizarre outbreak. It's a very bizarre outbreak, given how scattered it is and given that it's pretty much just affecting children.
It's amazing. It's Case Myth. Go to casemyth.com. Also, go to the Daily Caller. Check out her stories. They usually trend towards the top. Follow her everywhere on social media at KAYSMYTHE. Let's go to Elon Musk buying Twitter. It's so funny to watch the heads explode, figuratively, of the left on Twitter. Bye, Felicia. We're all leaving, exiting Twitter. I mean, we didn't all do that when they were squelching us for all these years. We still stuck it out and still tried to mix it up. What are they so afraid of, Katie, you think? And what sort of reaction do you expect on a global scale now that Twitter might be in the hands of somebody who wants it really to be a platform where you can say whatever you want?
So I think it's two things really here, Joe. You know, the first one to your first sort of question, I mean, the left just needs something to complain about. You know, they live in a country that they can literally from their phones get anything and everything they need. They have some of the best like healthcare in the world. Leftists need something to complain about because their lives are too easy. So today we're going to complain about Elon Musk buying Twitter, which I think as an immigrant, and he's also an immigrant, I think that's pretty darn cool. I think it's pretty rock and roll as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Now, what do I think is going to happen? Well, my hope, Joe, is that he deletes Twitter because I think it's an app. I just hate social media, as you know. Yes. I don't think we ever should have left the cave as a species. Twitter is, as you know, has come as a result of us leaving the cave. And I think it's completely redundant, but I depend on it for work. So I have to keep using it for as long as I keep working, as, you know, most of us do. So, yeah, my hope is that he deletes it. I tweeted about that earlier, which is ironic. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. More free speech.
Okay, $44 billion. He's not going to delete it. You know, that's not 44 cents. But for your work, which is so important, what if people could see your stories? They already trend very high as it is. You already get great, you know, virality as it is. What if people could actually see it? And I'll tell you this. I don't know what's going on, and I don't think Elon Musk bought it and said, hey, take all the filters out and the squelching off of Joe Pags. I've gained 300 people today. I mean, that's a lot for me because they slow roll me on Twitter, as you know. So, I mean, what if, and I don't want more privileges than, you know, some idiot on the left, some Jake Tapper. I don't want that. I just want equality in the ability to be part of the town square and say something. Isn't it going to change the life of you specifically and maybe the entities like Daily Caller and Tucker Carlson and Fox News and Newsmax? Won't it change them? Won't it change their availability now that people will be able to actually see them?
I actually think it's going to be a lot bigger than that, Joe. Really? I think, you know, sort of all joking aside, I don't know if you've heard of this, the 2000 Mules documentary. Let's just use this as an example, right? It's been squelched across all social media. No one wants to hear about it. No one wants to talk about it. I had a video taken down today where I interviewed someone about this documentary about, it's election fraud, really, right?
Right.
And so what I think is probably going to happen if we do actually get that freedom that Elon Musk has been promising is we are going to see a sharp deluge of information that is far more focused on the conservative right or the centrist right in this country. You know, we have been the silent majority for so long. And I think that if we just let Twitter go as sort of like a regular platform that isn't censored, so long as we don't have, like, you know, a deluge of like Russian bots and stuff getting in there. I think we're going to, I think the silent majority is going to become the loud majority. And I think projects like, you know, the 2000 Mules, for example, that's finally going to get into the sort of public realm. And hopefully we can put a stop to communism in this country. Elon Musk might literally have stopped communism by buying Twitter.
And, like, I'm really going to hope for the best here. Let this sink in, Kay Smythe. He only did it, I believe. He was pushed over the edge, I believe, because they squelched the Babylon Bee. Can you imagine? If they just don't censor or suspend the Babylon Bee, we might not be talking about this today. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Isn't that wild? But I think it's also, again, like, I just think it's so rock and roll. Like, he's just like, I'll just buy it. Like, how much is it? And he just went and did it. Like, it's so cool. I don't know. There's just so many different ways you can think of and feel about it. Right. And I think it's going to have a lasting, my hope is that it has a lasting positive effect.
Right.
I don't know. You and I could be talking about this from prison in a few years' time because everything's gone horribly wrong and the left is right this whole time, but I highly doubt it.
And they're going to arrest us, you know, because we have an opinion. It's Kay Smythe. Go to kaysmythe.com. Follow everything she does on Daily Caller. She's on Newsmax TV. She's here on the Joe Pags Show as well. Well, one last thing. Had Elon Musk owned Twitter in 2020, Trump would have won rather easily because we all would have known about Hunter Biden's laptop. Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, everybody colluded to stop that information from getting out. And if I take him at his word, and I do, Musk would not have done that, and I think that's going to be a sea change with this being an election year as well. Let's talk about the house in Virginia that sells, and they got a little something extra, a little added value, didn't they?
So every day, Joe, I swear to goodness, every day I write one story where I'm like, is this real life? And so this one, so there's a house right in Virginia. It's a 5-bed, 4-bath.
Nice.
And the listing says, you guys have to acknowledge if you're going to buy this place, beautiful home, you guys have to acknowledge that there is someone living in the basement. They do not have a lease. They are squatting here. And
No, hold on. It sounded like you said somebody lives in the basement.
Somebody lives in the basement of this property.
Well, now how is that okay, Kay? I'm not sure I understand. I mean, wouldn't he have to leave upon the sale of the house?
So actually, it's a woman. And because she's been squatting there for so long. She's been squatting there for about 3 years. Basically, the family of the chap who owns the home is an elderly gentleman.
Okay.
He hired this woman to allegedly, like, clean the house. She was worried that she didn't have anywhere to stay. And so he was like, oh, here, you can live in my basement. And she's been living there ever since. And so he is now very ill. He's probably going to have to go into hospice, according to the reports that I've seen. And so the family is selling the home for, and I say selling the home, this home sold with the squatter in it.
Oh, they took the squatter. They said, sure.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
They got over $800,000 for this property with the squatter. It probably would have gone for over $1 million. It's that gorgeous. But if they didn't have someone living in the basement,
can they not evict her? Can they? I mean, she doesn't have a lease. Why can't they just escort her out?
Because it's pretty expensive to evict someone. Like, it's not just like a kind of, oh, here's an eviction notice. It's pretty expensive, and this family couldn't afford to do it. So they're hoping that the new owner of the home will go through that eviction process, which, you know, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would go through the process without a doubt. It is Kay Smythe, S-M-Y-T-H-E. Go to kaysmythe.com. Check her out on Daily Caller, on Newsmax. You were on like an hour earlier yesterday. Was that something that you found out later? Because we've been saying 8:30 Eastern. It was like 7:50, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 7:50. I don't know why that was. I think they had a big guest coming in after me. And I went down to Wilmington this weekend in North Carolina. Beautiful place. Highly recommend it for a vacation. Yeah. And I guess I got all my stress out. Because everyone was telling me that I was really, really, really nice on Newsmax this weekend. Even Carl was like, this didn't get as fiery. And then they played one of my other clips on gun control where I lost my mind. So, you know, they made up for it later in the show.
They don't want the chill K. All right. One last question. You lived in L.A. for a long time. I know some actors that you've dated. You have people in your circle that are actors and actresses. And you see these relationships. And I want to use one for an example. Kevin Kline is married to what's-her-face. Penelope, what's her face? What is her? I can't think of her name now.
She was
in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I'm going to think about it later, and I'm going to be mad that I didn't know it. But she was an up-and-coming actor, very, very pretty actress. And she was, I think, A-list. She was moving up and moving up. They got married. He continued acting. You don't see her do anything anymore. Is that the only way that two actors that are both successful can successfully have a relationship that one backs away? We're seeing Johnny Depp and what's your name, Heard.
Amber Heard.
I keep calling her Amanda. It's Amber Heard. So we're seeing that, and that just didn't work. There are two A-type personalities, or at least one was, and very violent, very negative, very, you know, attacking. Is that your experience, seeing these people try to have a relationship?
I mean, I think if you want to become a successful actor, there's got to be something slightly not right there, right? Like, anyway, like, underlying, you've got to be a special sort of egomaniac to think my dream is to stand in front of a camera, say words that someone else wrote for me, move my body in such a way that someone else is telling me to, so I can make loads of money and have fans. I mean, we're also talking about, like, two actors who don't even want to do stage work. Like, I have a huge amount of respect for actors who do stage work. That's kind of my metric. These are not the sharpest tools in the shed, shall we say. And I feel like, in my experience, when you have someone who is unbelievably successful, like Johnny Depp was, I think still is, and then when you have someone who's sort of skyrocketing to fame, like Amber Heard, what you get is that it stops being about the acting and it starts being about the fame around the relationship.
Okay.
And that's when that's when things are just going to start to fall apart. Like, I have friends who are, most of my friends who are in successful marriages. I will say this for comedians. I will say this for actors. It's usually good to be with someone who is maybe in the industry, so they understand, but is not an actor. I'm talking like producers, writers, things like that. And when you get home, like, you are, you know, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're a parent. You are not the person who's, you know, going to get chased down by the paparazzi.
Right.
But pretty much all the, like, for example, all the comedians I know who are in successful marriages, they say, you know, my wife keeps me alive. She keeps me anchored. And, or my husband, well, I don't actually know any female comedians in successful marriages, so I take that back.
I want to correct myself here. Phoebe Cates is married to Kevin Kline. You might not know Phoebe Cates. She was very successful, like, I think, in The Gremlins or The Goonies or something, and also in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is the first movie where I saw Sean Penn. And if you haven't seen that movie, go see it. It's like from the 1980s, and you'll see how we lived in the 1980s. But that's a successful marriage because she hasn't done much since they got married, and I guess that was her choice not to. One last question. I've only got a quick second here. If Johnny Depp wins, because he's no longer Jack Sparrow. He's no longer in whatever the movie, the Harry Potter spinoff thing was. I mean, he's lost millions upon millions of dollars. Is Hollywood so vain and so shallow that they'll say, oh, he won, let's put him back in everything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, everyone's going to be vying to put him in the next film because everyone will go and see, oh, this is the first movie since Johnny Depp, like, lost the tip of his finger and right. someone did something disgusting in his bed. Like, right. absolutely. Like, everyone's going to spend money to go see that. Like, he's going to make a killing. I just think both of them really need to go into therapy and, like, get a regular day job.
The one picture where he's, like, he's out and the ice cream's rolling down his leg, he says that, you know, I had a 17-hour day and the opiates I took. Almost like it's nothing. You know, it's almost like yeah. this is just part of what we do. And those yeah. two, I don't know why those two ever thought it was going to work out, because clearly she still wants to be a bigger success than she is, and he already was on the top of the mountain. I think that would be rough anyway, Kay. It's Kay Smythe. Go to kaysmythe.com, S-M-Y-T-H, T-H-E. com, and also watch her on Newsmax TV. Check out everything she writes in the Daily Caller. Follow her on all the social media. She's an all-around great person. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe. This was great, even though I'm really sweaty.
Thanks, Kay. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot. I don't know why Elon Musk buys Twitter if he's not going to fix it. I think he's going to fix it. I think the fixes will like a lot of it. We won't like some of it. But he's going to make it a platform again, whereas it's been a publisher for a long time. And publishers decide what's on the platform. Platforms don't have any decision whatsoever. They just sit there and whatever you say, and you put it out there. That's the way it should be. Pop culture. Pop! Dirty pop. Hi, Polo, what's happening? Talk to me.
All right, so hopefully I get this guy's name right. Kerry Elwese, okay. Is that how you say it?
I think it is Elwese. Yeah, he was like the prince on Robin Hood or something back in the day.
Right, he was in Men in Tights.
Okay,
and then he
was
also in The Princess Bride. Yes. So apparently he had to get airlifted to a hospital because he was doing some gardening and he got bit by a rattlesnake.
Oh, no.
On his hand. And they said that I guess he made it in time and he's fine. But I guess it was definitely a big scare for him because he had to get airlifted.
I don't know what he's done at all since then. I mean, he was pretty big like in the early 90s or something.
Yeah, he was in Days of Thunder too, yeah.
All right, there you go. That's Polo. That is Sam. I am Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a good night. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.